Shall we bow our heads once again for prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for thus far your grace has been with us since we gather here this morning. Thank you once again for the blessings of the Sunday school. Thank you for the worship service. We thank you for special numbers and the messages that they carry. We are grateful to you for the entire worship. We pray, Lord, that the little offering of our lips will be acceptable in your sight. As we look further to you for more blessings today, because your fountain is inexhaustible. Walk upon us and be our help. As mortals, we are helpless. Our help can only come from you. The prophet said that no man can receive anything except it is given unto him. Send grace unto us. May your word do our souls good. Every time you come into the midst of your people, your prophet has said you don't come as an onlooker or as a recorded angel. But you come to give strength, you come to give ability, you come to give grace. Lord Jesus, may you help us that as we have come to your house, we will not come just as at the other time. But let that drop in our hearts a great expectation, so that you can do something tangible in our life. Let it be King of Kings. As we are asking for ourselves, we are also asking for wherever the saints are gathered, in all the nations of the world. Help your servants. Each one is a mortal being, and except you pass through them, they can never be of blessing to your people. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will give grace to all of us to yield ourselves unto you, that you might pass through us, O God, to your people. Thank you, dear Father. We pray you heal the sick and the afflicted, those yearning for the Holy Ghost baptism, may you remember them. Those who are not thirsty, we pray you create thirst in their hearts. Your prophet has said that no man can be desperate except you touch him. May that touch come, dear Father. Thank you, righteous Father. At the end of this service, may I have recourse to give glory and honor to you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Sister Badari, send greetings. God bless you. Oh, my everlasting God, oh, more than friend, all I see. Yeah.
Except thou bless me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. Shall we please be seated? We'll be speaking this morning, the Lord helping us on a little subject. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Within the time that we have, we want to look at Jacob once again. It's a special character in scripture and also in the message. In the book of Genesis, also chapter 25, from verse 21 to 34, I read. He said that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That's a great message for a pregnant woman to hear that have been passing through very terrible time. I don't think Ali is a pregnant woman will experience what the woman was experiencing. Though they all go through troubles, it's different from each other. But this her own was so bad until she went to God in agony. Why do you leave me like this? All this year, I said, she has been barren. But now the Lord has answered their prayers and she's pregnant. Even the pregnancy is too not trouble. Maybe until the thing was affecting her life, she perhaps was thinking that maybe this one will take her life. And you can feel for her. And she cried unto God until God had to speak to her. I said, the reason you are having this thing, two nations are in your womb. Look at that word. Two nations are in your womb. This is your small womb. Two nations are inside. And two manner of I carry two nations, two manner of people. He said, one will be stronger than the other one, and the other will serve younger. For this time, she had to pay some special attention. Let's move forward. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an airy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his aunt took a hold of Esau's heel, an unborn child. He has already known how to fight. He has not come out. He's inside the womb. He has known how to fight. He grabbed him. Where are you going? I'm supposed to go out first. Where are you going? And after that came his brother out. Okay, I read it. And his son took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bared him. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Who do know? It looks as if from this story of the scripture that Rebekah did not tell Isaac the things that God said. Because if he has told him, even the time that he was calling Esau to bless him, he will have had another thought. The scripture was silent on that. But from all the pointers, it looks like Rebekah kept those things to herself. But that informed Rebekah of her actions thereafter. It's not that she hated Esau. She didn't hate Esau. He's also her own son. But she knew that God spoke some special things about this other one. And she has got to pay attention. And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field. And he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. This is one area that you can never understand. Because the request and the trade by barter proposals that Jacob proposed was not comparable. He didn't say, give me the whole pot. Don't give me smart of this. Let me eat something to just quench this hunger. Just to step down a little before I can give you. You have to sell your birthright to me. That will tell you that there is an inspiration working on Jacob all the while. Because while in the womb, he was grabbing this was eating. Where are you going? You're pulling this up. If he has the strength, he will pull the thing back. You know the two sons of, I think, Judah also, that they had through the daughter-in-law, when one was to come out, one first of all put his hand out, and then the knots, they tie scarlet red on the hand. He draw the hand inside, then the other one come out first. That other one was blocking the road. But this one went and shook his hand like this. The thing that happened in the womb, only God knows. This one passed, he shook his hand out. They tied it in, then they breathed it in. They already tired. So he breathed it out. So by the time they brought it, they said, this one has already shown, come to this earth. See, so he break forth. He is the first one in her. Even though in the physical thing, this one is the one that finally come out first. But they have already tied up the, you can't enter a womb and go and be tied up that. He bring the heart out. Oh, you are tied. And the ties are there, bring the fist. There are so many things that we can never understand. That's why the prophet said that the only thing that God requires is that we just believe. Verse 32. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this bad tribe do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swear unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This action that happened within some minutes, less than 1 hour, it finished him for life. Though the works were finished from before the foundation of the world, but in the, you know, we are all acting a recorded play. Everybody here on earth, we are acting a recorded play. Our life have already been recorded. We are only acting it out here. So God is not taken by surprise. Everything is very easy. So enjoy. So just watching what he has already recorded. That is what is worth watching. But with us, when we hear this thing happen, somebody may not be able to sleep until daybreak. But God does not have sleepless nights. Everything to him is going as it is written. Like Jesus said, say the Son of Man going as it is written of him. And that is how everybody is going as it is written of them. There is going to come something that will create the situation. This situation that we just read now was created by the Almighty God. By his predestinated will. Even though it has been prophesied, Rebecca has heard, there are two nations in your womb and two manner of people. The elder is going to serve the younger. Although she knew. But nevertheless, there must be the reason. The prophet said that the reason why we come to this earth, both God's children and Satan's children, is to be proven. Because there is no basis for judgment except there is something to prove. That is why God, oh, you can't, sometimes when we think of it, You can think of it and think of it and just say, God, I thank you. You just say, God, I just thank you. Because if you did not know what to know, what are you going to do? You just be roaming in darkness. Are you going to arrest God? Are you going to go and protest in his corridor and carry placards? That's what you can do. Now the prophet, let's read the scriptures first before I want to go to Genesis 28 and read the first 9 verses. I'm dropping some of the stories. You know, in between these two that I've jumped, you'll find when this thing happened like this, he turned to hatred right away in that house. And then things begin to happen. And I jump so many things. The blessing of Isaac to, because if you want to follow everything, we'll not even reach anywhere in the things we want to talk about. But it's something we are familiar with. The confidence that Rebecca has to tell Jacob, if this thing turns to a cost, my head will carry it. Say, I will carry the cost. The cost will be on me if it turns to a cost. Because the father told Esau, go and fetch me venison. Because my days are numbered, so that I can bless you. And Rebecca had. All this thing, when you meditate a little, you know that in each point, the hands of Jehovah was there. Because the day that Isaac was talking to Esau, what about if Rebecca was not around? How would she know? But the one that did that wrote the master plan is at work. He's at work. He made sure that discussion will never happen at the back of Rebecca. Rebecca was not invited. She only overheard. She has been positioned by God where she will hear it. I don't think Isaac put loudspeaker. He just called Isaac. He just called Esau. So I want to tell you something. As Rebecca hear that one, I must hear what he's telling you. Go and take your instrument, go and fetch me venison such as I like, prepare it. Let me see so that she keep quiet, allow the man to run into the bush. He called Jacob. Jacob, this is what your father told your brother. Now he has entered the bush. That bush he enters, so before he come out, go to backyard. Go and get a kid there. Slaughter it. Bring it to me, make a dresser. And then you give it to your father and get the blessing. Jacob, look, he said, Mommy, this thing, he get that to me. Say, what is it? There is no, is it my voice? My voice is very clear. The father, daddy knows the voice of both of us. Say, leave those ones for me. Even our body is different. My brother is scary, I am smooth. He said, leave those ones for me. Jacob was full of doubts, but Rebecca was full of confidence and assurance, because she knew that this thing God has finished it, and that is what God has told her, that this is how things will go. To the extent that if it turns to curse, I will carry it, because she knew it can never turn to a curse. You know how it went? The blessing was given to Jacob as he finished the blessing, and Jacob left. Esau entered inside. Daddy, I brought you something. You will like this one today. He said, who is that? Esau now your son, your fourth one. Ah. The man made a statement that angered Esau. He said, who is he that have brought me venison and have given me and have eaten and have blessed him and he shall be blessed? In other words, the blessing I've given to him is irreversible. It was that statement that actually tear Esau to pieces. Then he was not asking for any remainder, any leftover blessing, any leftover. Then just give to him the leftover. Say, you will serve your brother. That's the leftover. You will serve your brother. When Isaac finished, then Esau made up his mind. Very soon, my father will mourn for this boy because I will kill him. This is a boy that God has said will rule over you. This is a boy that your father has said will rule over you. And you are saying you will kill him. Don't you know that that same God who has a program will make sure that you are not able to kill him? He did not plan it inside. The anger was much that he has to open his mouth and be saying it. And the Bible says his words were hard. Then Rebecca called Jacob. Call. Oh yeah, prepare and run to my place. When he was going, the father still called him and blessed him again. Genesis 28 from verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban thy mother's brother. He was specific. And God Almighty blessed thee and made thee fruitful and multiplied thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. That is the second time of blessing. After Esau was annoyed with the first blessing, when he was being sent away now, is he repeated the blessing showered on him? Verse 5 says, and Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram, and Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau to Ishmael. You see where he went? You cannot copy anybody. This is an individual affair. Remember before this one, this second step now, he has already married a wife, a Canaanite. We just jump all those things. Esau has already married a Canaanite. The Bible says it was a grief of heart to the parents. It was a grief of heart. And these are the things that God told that Jacob was told not to take anybody from Canaan. Okay. Then Esau went unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajo, to be his wife. That one cannot solve the problem. So, who is Jacob? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, part 2, paragraph 318 to 324. take the word sin and find out what it means. The word sin means unbelief. There is only two factions. That is a believer or an unbeliever. That is a justified person and a sinner. That's all. If you are an unbeliever, you are a sinner. No matter how good you are, how much you go to church, or even if you are a preacher, you are still an unbeliever. Those Pharisees were preachers, and they were unbelievers, and in hell today for it. Just as religious as they could be and pious, but they didn't believe him, and they called him a devil, and disputed his word. And some of them said, if thou be, that is, that word is a doubt. It's an expression of doubt. It's either he is or he is not. When you say, if thou be, it's an expression of doubt. You are not sure. If thou be, now come down off the cross. Perform a miracle. Let us see you do it. One smote him on the head with a stick and said, prophesy and tell us who hit you. You prophet. I will believe you. See, unbelievers. Unbelievers say that they will believe. How can unbeliever believe? Somebody that is born to be an unbeliever, he will remain an unbeliever. No matter what happens, no matter the evidence, no matter the proof, no matter whatever God shows to the person, he will remain an unbeliever. Amen. Some people have been sleeping from Sunday school, and they still continue their sleep now. May the Lord be their help. They may believe that they were believers, but they were unbelievers, unregenerated, separated, though they were holy and pious. Yeah, that is the same thing stands today. Men and women who can go to church and have the long face and pious as they can be, and never lie, steal, and try to live their religion as best as they can. But unless they are a believer, they are lost. Now, being pious is fine, but it does not take somebody to heaven. Of course, we preach against bad dresses and the rest of it, which is whatever is an expression also of unbelief. Nevertheless, Muslims, they dress better than we do. Cover their something, cover their head, except some of them. They just leave only one line of the eyes. You can never, I said they talk and you know their voice. You can never know who is talking. They are well covered to the feet. Everywhere is covered. But they are unbelievers. Alright. So there is no scratch of legalists in the Bible. Grace is what God did for you. And what is what you do for God is absolutely separated. If you quit lying, quit smoking, quit stealing, quit committing adultery, quit all, done everything, kept the commandments, and went to church, baptized every Sunday, through the communion, watched the feast of the saints, done everything, healed the sick and done all these other things, unless you are born of the Spirit of God, elected, you are lost. Nothing that willeth or him that runneth, but God has showed mercy. Esau tried his best to become a Christian and couldn't do it. The Bible said he went bitterly, seeking a place to repent and couldn't find it. Before he was even born, God condemned him. That's what we read in the scripture, is that right? Because he knew he was a rotten shyster in his heart. God by foreknowledge knew it. By foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. The knowledge that God had of everybody before they were ever formed. He said, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. And Esau looked like the gentleman. He stayed home, taking care of his old blind daddy, fed the cattle and everything, was a good boy. And Jacob was mama's boy, little old 65 storyteller. That's what he was. You have to admit it, the Bible admits, brings it. Run around, done everything, and mama hanging around with mama, but yet Jacob with all of his ups and downs and his 65 ways, he still had respect to that birthright. That is the keynote. Now, there is something we are trying to bring out as we proceed. Election, there's nothing you can do about it. It's exclusively God's own prerogative. It is the act of God. He's the one that did that one by his own foreknowledge of everybody. So he has elected. It's not this body we are carrying. Whether you are physically beautiful or handsome or ugly or whatsoever, he has nothing to do with election. Because when we cross this side, there is nobody in that place that is ugly. Brother Bram has had a preview of the place. Everybody that was pretty. No blind person there. Nobody used walking stick. Nobody have one of the senses of the body. All the senses that is needed in that place, they are all perfect. Everything is wonderful. Brother, when he was talking about the future home, he said there is nothing you can check in the dictionary you can use to describe the place. Nothing. Amen. Esau was twice the gentleman of Jacob. If we have to judge him today, to be a member of our church, you will take Esau. 1,000 to 1 if you didn't know him. But God took Jacob. This Jacob, he started physically with a bad type of life. One thing with him was that because even his brother Esau understood the meaning of Jacob. He understood the name that was given. He said, did you not rightly name him Jacob? You said that name him, you are the cause. You name him Jacob. That's how he begins to deceive everybody here. See how he deceived me now. It's the name you gave to him. That is what is reflecting on him. And the prophet said that the name that you bear, it reflects on you. It reflects. Amen. In the message in his presence, paragraph 69, the prophet said that, and Jacob was changed from Jacob's supplanter to Israel, a prince having power with God. That is what happened to Jacob. The supplanter, the deceiver, this is his CVO. This is the CV of Jacob. A supplanter, a deceiver, the unrighteous, the unholy, the deceiver, deceived his brother, stole the birthright as it was from his brother, took a little dirty way of doing it, such a deceiver. He deceived his father-in-law, put poplar sticks and made speckled cats. If you go and read those stories, he was telling the wife that it was God that gave me. But these are his devices. It was his crafty devices that he used to convert all the best of Laban's property to himself. After they made the agreement, because he said, I've learned by experience that when you are with me, God is blessing me. Say, instead of you going like this, say, appoint your wages, whatever, then I will give you. Then Jacob said, you know what? Any of the animals that is have a plain color like this, they are yours. But the one that have this color, they are mine. Whichever way you put it. And when they conceive and they want to give birth, he has put if it is the animal, whichever way he wants it to fall, he will go and put it back. He put it before it. How that thing works, I don't know. We are reading Bible. How it works like that, I don't think science have an idea also. But one thing sure, look, we don't believe the Bible, that's all. This multicolor that he put here, that is what that animal will give birth. As the thing continued like that, within a short time, Laban looked at him that, this boy, all the animals that are better, they are now his own. Me, myself, that I'm the owner. All his animals are just like this. No, they don't balance at all. See, then his heart begin to change. His way of talking begin to change. Then Jacob called the wives. Say, your father's eyes are changed. And the way I look at this, I think we need to go. The girls, they said, yes, now, let's go. And you know, say, your father too? No, it is both of them are also like this. Laban too? Now, are you man? Because when the old thing started with Laban and he saw that the daughters, it was Rachel that actually Jacob for the first saw. When he came to that place, it was Rachel that came to fetch water. That's the first person that Jacob saw. And Jacob loved her and things. And he said, okay, me, I like this one. And there is no problem. Laban did not tell him about the custom of the place. Laban didn't talk about how they normally do it, that there's a protocol they follow. He allowed this man to serve for 7 years. After 7 good years, so they do the marriage the way they used to do it, he dance, eat and everything. When night time came, they slaughter Leah inside. He must be in a dark place. I don't know how they did it. Just let me do all those ones. Maybe Leah will have been taught. Don't speak out. Just be talking quietly until they break. Maybe they don't recognize your voice. Because I'm sure somebody that I've been living with them for 7 years, he will know the voice. Don't you think so? Must have been a quiet talk that Leah will be in that dark. When did they break? And he look at wait with this. He go meet the father. Why are you doing like this? 7 years now play. I serve you here for 7 years because of Leah. See what you got because of Rachel. See what you gave me. In this place. Is it today that law came inside? He said, in this way, that's the way we do it. The elder has to go first before the junior. He didn't tell you all this one before. You are already inside the contract, you are in already. The other one is here. Oh, yeah, start another 7 years. If it is today, while I will boss. Well, the roughness of Jacob did not reach some areas. Because if it is now today, even for them to be living together for that year, it might have even defied both of them. But it didn't reach all those areas. But it is this area of Lila, duping is cheap. It goes on Laodicea spirit. Or let me say Nigerian spirit. Because for 419, Nigeria is number one. It's number one. Well, Jacob, because he really loved Rachel. He said it looked to him as few days. Oh yeah, just 7 years. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6, 7 years. Then he now said you can. Even that time, they didn't give them bonus mate to join it. But Jacob himself knew that he is a wild man. He himself knew his style of life that he knows. But let's go ahead. Now the prophet said, deceived his mother, deceive his daddy, deceive his brother. But when he once got, he was a shyster. He was running everywhere he went, always on the run from God. He was on the run from his brother. But when he came into the presence of God, he recognized he was a sinner. What did he do? What did he do? He seized his opportunity. Let's go to Desperations. Desperations, paragraph 82. Now Jacob thought, because that he had the birthright, that equity was made. So did the Pentecostal people. And they begin to recognize, to organize the oneness, threeness, Trinitarians, and all kinds of organizations, and fusing and pulling at one another, proved that the token wasn't showing malice, envy, strife. See? But that is where he got to. Now see, Jacob thought the same thing, but in fear one night of his own life, desperation took a hold of him. When he thought that, just across that river yonder, my brother is waiting to kill me. He is going. See, the battery that he had got was the thing that was going to cause his death. Well, you know, there is the way the prophet put this in sometimes. The program told us that in the message, the token, that the birthright is the token, the Holy Spirit. The way he put it here, for the Old Testament, for what is not the Holy Spirit yet. It's just like the covenant of the blessing. I mean, it's just the written itself. His life hasn't been changed. I don't know how to explain this one now, but I think you understand what I'm trying to put out. You didn't understand. Silence. This is the thing. In the Old Testament, the birthright is that when you are the firstborn, you have the blessing. Is that clear? That is why Jacob was after the blessing. Now, physically, he has been blessed. But the blessing has not taken effect. Satan was here after him. Because his brother that he cheated, the way he got the bad try, physically speaking, it was wrong. It was through a crooked means. Though God ordained it for him, but the way he got it, it was going to lead to his death. Because his brother has swore that the day he set his eye on him, na death. But the parents sent him away so that they say, you stay away until your brother's anger goes down. But Jacob is not sure that Esau can forget that thing any year they meet. And Jehovah God, he knows how to arrange things. You see, people used to, we used to talk about Abraham, just like we had in the Sunday school this morning, about Sarah, who doubted in the Old Testament, and the Bible said by faith in Hebrews. Is that correct? That's the scripture. Also, the Bible also said about Abraham in the New Testament, that he never staggered through unbelief. Is that the scripture? But if you look at the Old Testament, there are a lot of staggering there. But Brother Abraham said that Abraham reaped every grain that he sowed. All the wrongdoings, he said he paid for it. So if you don't bring everything together, it makes some people to think that once you are a believer, a child of God, whatever you do it anyhow. You will pay for it. You shall pay for it. Nothing. God doesn't allow anybody to do anything and go scot-free. That is just one thing I want it drill into our hearts. That is at all levels. If it means that I'm standing here, I do anything, I will pay for it. That is God's own order. And He will not amend it for anybody. So you've got to watch on a daily basis what to do. Because God is compiling. Sometimes, I think sometimes, because apart from the request we put on the projector every Wednesday, pray for Holy Ghost baptism for the seekers. To my own something, as you can see physically, not much is seeking. That's the truth. Not many is seeking. Because there are things that go with people seeking the Holy Ghost. A person seeking for the Holy Ghost is not even going to be a late comer. I am telling you, Satan will pass through all these stages. When we were younger, our belief was that you even pray before you go to the family altar, because something can happen at the family altar. It's true. There may not be preaching, but the thing that is being read is enough to give eternal life. A person seeking for the Holy Ghost will come to church on time, come to the altar, kneel down and pray. When Christians come to pray, then you that are seeking for the Holy Ghost, you are coming 9:30. And you want to tell me that you are desperate? Well, me, I don't understand that type of desperation. Somebody else may understand. What I'm trying to bring out is that, let us say that the reason why people are no more writing, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, is because it is a general something. But even before we put it there, it is the same way. It's the same way. And the promise is to the one that passed after righteousness, that is to be free. Not for the one that does not pass. The principle of God's word is that you got to act before you receive. You got to ask if you are to get. You got to ask before you receive. He said, you seek, then you will find. He said, you knock, then it will be open unto you. Brother Abraham said, I like to see them walk at it. I like to see them struggle. He said, that is when it will become valuable. That is why God does not distribute it to everybody. He said, just take. Brother Abraham said that if you give something, he was using his children as an example. He said, when Billy Paul was born, Mida, we go and buy all kinds of things, and he said, all those things that was bought, he said, you just go and then be making more cakes. Leave all this. Brother Abraham said that the next one will not be like that. We will not waste our money on things like this, because they don't know the value. That is also the principle of God. Brother Abraham God does not give you something that you don't know the value of. Something that you don't understand. Something that you are now asking for. It does, just like you give money to, like, just to give money to beggar. Of course, beggar, they don't even ask. But God's principle is that you must ask if you will receive. Amen. This Jacob, God was watching him. Of course, the election was abiding on him. In his heart, he knew he was wrong with the way he was going about his life. Even when he was cheating his father-in-law, he knew in his heart that he was wrong. Though he knew that maybe also the mother might have told him some things, and then the blessing has gone, but he's living in fear. And they were moving from one place to another. Until one day, the prophet said, there was a pull in his heart to return. Now when he was going, he got to a place, Padan Aram, while he was on his way to, then he got to a place that I think he slept the night or so in that place. He dreamt. He used stone as pillow. When he dreamt and he woke up, he saw that a ladder from heaven, a ladder that reached to heaven, he saw angels ascending and descending on it. So when he woke up, he said, so God is even in this place and I didn't even know it. Then he called the name of that place Bethel, which means
house of God.
But the Bible said the name of the place was called, I think, Luz or so previously before. But he changed the name of that place. Then he told God, if you will be with me in the way that I go, and you will bless me, when I come back and bring me back to my father's house, I will come and worship you here. Then he was going. When he got to the house of Laban, all that happened, and finally, when it was time, Abraham said that God began to deal with his heart, that it is time to return. That is why in the message Desperation, Brother Abraham said, you cannot be desperate until God touch you. You are just on your own thinking everything is moving fine on a daily basis in your condition when you are not okay. No zeal, no desperation, no nothing, unconcerned, because nothing yet, there is no pull. God is not yet dealing with your heart. So you don't know, you are comfortable in a singular where you are. You watch. Whether we like it or not, the end is closer than before. It's closer than before. Now, tension is mounting more than ever on Israel. It's mounting, and they are adamant. They think that with the threat and everything that they will budge. They will not budge. They will not budge. You see people sending worship, and Israel doesn't fear all that. Israel does not beg any country to support them. The way he talked to them, they were reacting that the Bible was telling him that you must stop all this nonsense, whatever. You are talking to the wrong person. Netanyahu, who is the Israeli prime minister, is as bold as anything. When he is reading his speech, he will be quoting scriptures. He will be telling you where they stand. They are not afraid of US. They are not afraid of Iran. They are not afraid of Russia. They are not afraid of UK. They are not afraid of France or anything. Most of the countries, they don't at all put their side with Israel. Only Trump, all this while, ever supported them. And tension is mounting now. Tension is mounting now. But they are unruffled. They are calm. They are unruffled. They just did a strike recently. And those of you say they will retaliate. And the people are warning that the way we are going, we are scratching for the Third World War. And we all know that the Third World War will actually end. The end of the Third World War will be the end of the Great Tribulation. A war can actually continue for 10 years. A war can last for 10 years or more before it ends. But obviously and definitely, the bride is going to share part of the tension of this world before the rapture. Because it's going to be in the midst of squeeze and pressure that the rapture will take place. And as we speak, laws have been promulgated, it's spreading. Recently, it was a country, something, I read it in another country now, where they have banned, they closed about either 1,000 churches or something. It's gradually. As we follow the news, we are looking at the pendulum, how it is swinging. If you like, relax. As if nothing is at stake. The only reason why I come to this message is for the rapture. There is no second reason why I come to this message. The only reason I come here is for the rapture. Because it is the difference between this message and denominations. Because it is in the circle of his family that the bride will be taken out. And the bad side of it is that as many as misses the rapture here, they have missed everything. They have missed everything. They are the one that the words of rapture will come to pass, that they are of all men most miserable. This message is cutting everybody away from holiness. Don't do this. You want to enjoy like this? Don't do it. You want to enjoy like this? Don't do it. You want to enjoy like this? Don't do it. If you want to remain here and you are cut off from all the pleasures and enjoyment and still miss the rapture, and you still miss the rapture, you are of all men most miserable. Let me read for you. I think I was on paragraph 83, right? Let me repeat that 83 now. Now see, Jacob thought the same thing, but in fear one night of his own life, desperation took a hold of him. When he thought that just across that river yonder, my brother is waiting to kill me. He's going to. See? The battle that he had gotten was the thing that was going to cause his death. And sometimes, that very thing that you receive as the Holy Spirit, it is, and are born again of the Spirit, if you don't watch, that same thing will condemn you at the end. That's right. The very water that saved Noah condemned the world. The thing that you will call fanaticism might be the very thing that condemns you at the end of the road. May I say this one? May the Lord help every one of us. When the preaching of this message is going up, anything you don't understand, be humble with it and be sober with it and say, God, I don't understand that area. And close your mouth. Because even wrong thoughts can block your blessing. It will just cut you off. Not to talk of wrong ash. I don't have time for that, but I will have proven it well for you from the message. Now Jacob knew that his life was close at the end. He had a messenger come told him that his brother with 400 armed men was coming to meet him. He knew that he was on his road. Fear took a hold of him. He sent man on ahead with ox and cattle and sheep to make a peace offering with Israel. Then after that, he started another group with another load of stuff. Then he started another group with another load of stuff, trying to meet him first, to try to turn his rod. Then he got to thinking, that won't stop him. Because he is probably richer than I am. He doesn't need it. Then he took his wives and his little children and sent them across, that Esau will see their little children and his wife, and surely, on his own little nieces and nephews, he will not slay them. Then he still couldn't do it. That is, he still have his doubts. He still have his fears. What about if he is still not at peace? God knows how to get a man. When God is ready for you, he knows how to get you. Sure. If because everything is fine, that is why we remain in our condition. You just have a rough day, just only 2 days of rough life. You confess all your sins. That I know very sure. If it is far off, only 2 days, you all your sins, even the one you did this sin, you confess. But when you see people relax, like, we know what is the matter. It's because God is not ready for you, or you are not part of them. Is it out of the two? There's no other middle ground. Either God is not ready for you. You see, we read the other time when we were teaching friendship in some of the preambles. As you read from that message, making the valley full of dishes. When Abraham was talking about the revival that had gone in America. Preachers that has gone to preach, how large trunk of people will come out and they will hear God's word. Say they will sit down, they will listen, then they will stand up
and they will go and they will continue on the same thing as if nothing has happened. Then the prophet said, if you only knew what that is, he said that is spiritual. It's not ordinary. There's something responsible for that. That make a mortal to sit down and listen to God speak, and the thing did not do him anything, and he shake himself like this and continue normally. You know what Brad Peter said? He said, anyone that look at himself in the mirror and see the way he is and does not do anything about it, he said he's blind. If you take a blind man to stand before the mirror and you do not even see what to wear, and God's word is a mirror. Maybe some of us, when God is speaking, we are looking at the man part. That is how they were doing in the time of Moses, until God himself came down, say, want to address them one time. They didn't wait for God to address them. They ran away. Do you read your scripture? They ran away. They say, Moses, you know what? Just go and talk to God. When you come back, whatever I tell you, we are not going to query it any further. Then we just say, Rabbi said, that is when God has decided he will be using man to talk to man. He will have used the moon or the sun. But can man stand? Man cannot stand it. Amen. Jacob crossed the brook. There he got down on his knees. You know, he had kind of a little shyster before that, excuse the expression. But kind, it was Jacob. Jacob means a deceiver. And that's what he was. But there is something that had to happen to him. There in desperation, there when death lay before him. And there may be men and women sitting here tonight or this morning, that death lays right before you. And the only way you will ever be able to achieve anything or achieve the thing that you are wanting is to desperately call. I must have it tonight. I get it now or I am finished. Tomorrow is too late. I must have it now. When you pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the token, don't say, well, now we go up and try. Lord, I'm a little tired. Oh, mercy, stay in your seat. Don't even make an attempt. If you come, say, I'll pass through the line, put the oil on my head and see if it does me any good. You might as well set where you are at. Until you get to that place, until the old church gets to a place that it is between death and life, you've got to have it now or perish. Then God will move on the scene. It takes desperation to bring God on the scene. Amen. Jacob cried like never before. He has had causes to cry before, but not this, not like the cry this day. This day, it was a serious cry. Because only that thing is laid between him and death. All that he has worked for with Laban, all his achievement for all this year, he has dispersed everything to make peace. Look, some people, they say the person has settled down. He has arrived. Arrive at where I see at the US, you arrive at, or UK. Where did you arrive? Where did you arrive at? In the recent time, up to about 2-3 lawmakers died with all their weight. And they are not old. Some of them died outside the country. But they will bring the corpse back home and go and bury it. They just sit for about one day or something. Not long ago, one of the head of, is it custom or whatsoever, he was asked to come and defend something. It was at the defense that they look at it, he cough, then they say water, get the water. You do the water, then like that, like that. That's where I went. That's where I went. We are going to defend some of the wuru that they have done. That's where I went. All the money has made, who will eat them? They too, they are dying. They are dying. They does not respect anybody. Sin, sinner, they will die. Making money physically does not mean that you have arrived. It does not mean you have achieved. Because you are not even sure whether you will need to spend the money. Like I always say, how many vehicles will you drive at once? How many clothes will you wear at once? How many shoes will you wear at once? How many plates of food will you eat in a day? You eat too much, you will have constipation. Some of the food that people eat, we give them, they call it, they say they ate food poison. Not that somebody poisoned it, but the food got contaminated. When you hear sometimes that people who eat a food poison, it's not that somebody poisoned them. But so germs, whatever has entered inside the food, they eat it, and some people go like that. This act is nothing to rely upon apart from God. This is not the first confession we have. This year we make our confession 40 years. From 1984 to 2024. It will make it 40 years. And in these 40 years, what have I gotten from it? There was a time we used to have it out of 5-6 days. There was a time in the forestry there, when we were using forestry, we used to have 3 services in a day. Morning session, afternoon session, evening session. But what has it, what do I gain from it? And people will come for different reasons. Different reasons. Those reasons may not be sinful, but there is the main thing. If you lose that main thing, then it's not different from any other visit to any other place. It's just like when we are coming to church. Of course, we will see ourselves, won't we? We will greet ourselves. We will have us to even talk and discuss. The message allows it. You see, as long as something you want to discuss is righteous, you can discuss it outside. It's part of the message. But that's not the reason why we are in church. We come to church to meet with God and to check up with our soul salvation. Because you will come to one service one day, you will not come to the next one. In between, you will have left this act. Oh, sure. I say I'm stronger than you. If you are still thinking like that, then you are not even, I don't even know what is wrong in your brain. Because with all the experiences you have had, may the Lord be our wife. Jacob, we are following him. He cried like never before. Desperately he called until he got a hold of God. And when he did, he rested, not for 15 minutes. He rested to keep him in his soul. All night long, and still he knew he didn't have the blessing, and he was able to hold on until the blessing came. He rested desperately until the blessing came. When he seen God came on the scene, and then in despair, say, "I won't let you go." When he began to feel the blessing coming down on him, a lot of people say, "Glory to God, I got it now." There you are deceived. Any experience, the prophet said, that does not lead to holy life, he said, bring that experience to the altar and condemn it. Any experience somebody has that doesn't bring you to holy life, he said, you bring it to the altar and condemn it. Because that experience is not from God. Yeah, somebody say, well, I just feel so good, Brother Abraham. I went down there, I prayed. Oh, shivers run over me. And that might have been God. I saw a great light before me. That thing might have been God. But that animal world I'm talking about. And Jacob, in desperation, he said, paragraph 88, John, he said, I know I feel you. You are here with me. But I'm not going to let you go. You see, when you are in prayer sometimes, especially for the Holy Ghost, Brother Abraham said, he said, most of the time we talk, we do the talking. We don't even allow God to talk back. Because for every prayer, there's a feedback from God. Yes. It may be a prayer that you pray, you don't have the time to wait there. But definitely the answer is coming in some way. Either God will just set you apart and say, I've had you, and bring you the answer. It's a feedback. It's a feedback. But when you pray, and you are still afraid, you are not talking to God. Fear is an expression of unbelief. Sometimes after the service, Abraham will say that upon all that happened in the service, he said, you see some people outside, see what they are still saying. Abraham was not walking around to listen to them, but by discernment, he can look afar off at this and see what somebody is thinking in his heart. He said, they still go out and still be talking, which means that all that happened in that service, they didn't understand anything about it. When you pray, prayer is like you go on your own. You can lie down on your bed and pray. Oh, it's possible to pray while you are lying down. There is no definite position that if you don't do like this, God will not hear you. No. You can kneel down to pray. You can stand up to pray. You can sit down to pray. You can lie down to pray. Prayer is communicating with God. When you are praying, you know you are praying. When you really pray, the end of that prayer will bring you some satisfaction. It will give you some happiness. It will give you some peace. You can never talk to God and leave that place with fear. It means that you have not prayed. Amen. Somebody sees it fine. The first little sensation, they get up and jump up and down, run up the ice and say, I got it. Oh, no. Jacob stayed there until something happened that made him walk different, made him a different person. Because that he stayed until that happened. The Bible said, he held until he prevailed. How can a man prevail over God? But you can do it. You can do it. A man can prevail over God. Is it, thank God is a prophet of. To prevail over God is that God is saying, I will not give you. And you are saying, you must give me. God is saying, I will not give you. Say, you must give me. Why did you bring me here? Why did you show me the truth? Why did you call me to come and see the light? Is it to come and be a spectator? Is it to come and collect condemnation? Why did you call me to the truth if you will not give me life? The thing I'm hearing, do you want it to be for my condemnation? I don't have the strength to live by it. I don't have the grace to live by it. You must give me. And you promise that whosoever comes to you, you will know what cast out. You won't cast me out when you yourself said, that is prayer. That is prayer. When you tie God, when you tie him, he cannot move by his own word. Then that is when you prevail over God. It's not in Jesus' name. Billions of people are calling on him every minute. He's only looking at those that are. Their desperation is the highest. They are the one is attending to. Let a woman give birth to quadruplets. Four children at once. How many breasts does a woman get? Definitely, it can't feed the four at the same time. You want? You give her one. The other one, you give her the other one. These other two, they are just sleeping. You see, I thank God for these two. They don't used to disturb me. Is that a testimony? Those two will grow dwarf. are the ones that will go draft. There are thanksgiving that are no thanksgiving. It is the one that cried most, the prophet said, that received the best attention. Jacob stayed there, paragraph 90, until the blessing came and changed his name from a deceiver to a prince with God. Even the nation was called by his name. Yes, sir. What was it? The result was because he got desperate about the thing. And the next day, when he met Esau, he didn't need any guards. Of course, Esau was looking for Jacob. But when the two met, it was Israel he saw. He didn't see Jacob again. It was Israel he saw. It was Jacob that deceived him. It was Jacob that supplanted him. Now, he didn't see Jacob again. The person he sees now is Israel. Israel is a prince with God. Israel is the one that prevailed over God. It was not even the way he was walking that this man is walking. By the time he sees a man, the man was like this. What is your name? Israel. It was different from the man that departed. This one is Israel. Even the walking is not the same. It has been changed. And the real thing is that some of the problem we have is that we have given God the limitation of what he must do. No, it's part of the message. Abraham said, someone to receive the Holy Ghost that will not affect their business. Someone to receive the Holy Ghost that will not affect their associations. So, but there is nobody that can give God any limitation and say, this is where you, this is, I don't want anything to tamper with this. I don't want anything to tamper with this. Abraham says, in one place, say, day at my place of work. And then, what happened to your place of work? If God wants to save you, he will save you completely. Or he does not save you. You can't show him what to do and what not to do. I want to receive the Holy Ghost, but I don't want to cry like that. The way they used to cry. I don't want to be like a holy roller. I don't want that one. Then, if you are not ready, you go. Yoruba said, don't splash water on me. He walked right out and met him. See, why? He had got in desperation until he got the assurance. And you get desperate until you get the assurance. If you don't even come to be prayed for. Don't even come to the altar. Wait till it is between life and death to you. Then something will happen. This is the only time when somebody can receive the Holy Ghost. It is when it becomes life and death. And what will make you to desire the Holy Ghost? There will be something you are not satisfied with. You yourself, you must have an answer to some questions. Why did I myself say that I don't have the Holy Ghost? Why? There must be a reason. Some of the words you are hearing is bringing condemnation to your heart. Instead of you to jubilate and say, God, thank you for your word. But there is condemnation. There is some sadness. Some unhappy situation. Maybe you wish that this was not part of God's word. Maybe you wish that this message did not touch this area. All those wishes is late. The word is already there. Everybody is to come and align with the word. God will not cut his word to fit any man, but we are rather to cut ourselves to fit God's word. Or God has to cut us to fit his word. Amen. Genesis chapter 31, verse 1 to 13. As we. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob had taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's had he gotten all this glory. Those are the brothers of Leah and Rachel. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. This is the pull to return. That you have done enough in a strange land. You have run enough. You have gone east, west, south, and whatever. It is time to return home. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Now he did not talk about the way he said to their father. That is the nature of man before you. They will always see how the other person wronged them. They will never see how they wronged somebody else. He never tell the girl that. Me myself, I don't deal with him. And if he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Who was making them to do like this? Is it not the wool the calf? Was he happy on his own? Now Jacob Wayona. Though God had taken away the cattle of their father, of your father, and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which lived upon the cattle were an instrument, speckled and greased. Jacob. And the angel of God spake to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thy eyes, and see all the rams which live upon the cattle are in straight, speckled and graceful. For I have seen all that Laban dwelt with thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou bowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. No matter anywhere you a man do, it will meet up with the person. If it is God that wants to give him this thing, he doesn't need to go and carve all those trees. Did God tell him to go and carve the tree? He did that one because he was a Wayoma. Thinking on our way. Paragraph 26b. I want to read and also 27. It was Jacob who had deceived his brother and lived luxuriously down with his father-in-law, with camels and sheep and everything. One time, there come a yearning to go back home, go back to church, and go back to the right thing again. There must be a yearning in the heart of a seed of God to return back home. And he started with his wife and his children and his flocks. But when he heard that Esau was coming, he thought on his ways. On his ways of deceiving, he had deceived Esau, and he knew Esau was on his way to meet him. And there are so many Christians tonight, professed Christians,
that is only deceiving the thing they are confessing to be. Death will come creeping around the door one of these days. You go to thinking on your ways. And Jacob thought on his ways. He stayed the other side of the brook and prayed all night long. Amen. If Christians would think on their ways and would drive them to prayer and to repentance, it will be different. The world will be different. The church will be different. The people will be different. Amen. The percentage of my ministry, paragraph 141. Jacob, another, he has been away from home for a long time. And he had a call to go home to see his people. And he was on his road, true to his call, true to his leading. He had things fine over there, that is with Laban. But God began to deal with him to go home. And on his road home, was thrown between two tight places. His wife and children on this side, and his hated brother, Esau, coming here with an army to meet him. And he stood at the little brook Penning there, and there he stood, and what a condition. Esau, hating him, coming with an army to meet him. And here was his wife, two wives, and children, all on this side of the brook, and he was caught in a tight place. Why? Because he has stayed in his own land. Because he would have stayed in his own land, it would have been all right. But he had a call. The word of God had called him to his homeland. Hallelujah. God bless him, man. He got a change to yes. This pool that Jacob has to return back for. The reason why God made this pool was because it was time. There is time for everybody when you will have to leave your foolishness. Sometimes God is patient. No? He's patient. But we should not depend because God is patient and be careless. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. We should not be haphazard as if nothing is at stake. We should not relax when everything is not fine as if everything is fine. We must think of home. When Jacob started yearning and thinking of home, of course, things were fine until he got to the river and he had the message from his brother. That's when desperation really set in. What that will mean to individual of us, I don't know. But I sure know that the time is coming when each person we get to a point they cannot continue without God. The younger generation now, thank God they are coming to church. That is a good thing. Though some come to church and you will even see them from the beginning to the end of the service. Maybe go and hide somewhere, sleep off. Well, let's say they are in the church environment. If we did not cross youth, if we did not pass through that, I would think it's the thing that go with. But it's not so with everybody. Some have been yearning after God from their teenage life. Yeah. Some very young, they have surrendered themselves to God. Even among these people that are older now, some have surrendered themselves to God when they were young. But this generation is something else altogether. Everybody wants to make money. Who doesn't want to make money? You think me, self, I don't want to make money. If I have opportunity, I will make money. But there is no money I will make that will jeopardize my service to God.
Why did I leave government service? I was at a comfortable place where I was making money. Even the senior officers told me that a day chairman like you. And that I know. When I wanted to go for a seminar in 1992 in Kaduna, from the time I picked the paper of the seminar like this, I did not leave it until I got approval from the chairman. I just took the paper, take a new file, put it inside, walk to the secretary of the local government, or guy I want to attend. You want to attend? Just say, chairman, please, this seminar, let's say our secretary Sam, you who's attend. I got to carry the file, walk into the chairman's office, chairman already approved. I carry it back to the secretary, he sent something down. That's how I carry it from office to office. In one day, everything was ready and departure. In one day, somebody has 2 weeks, they never received. One day, I got in the voucher. I carried the file, put it inside my drawer, lock it up, till I return back. Nobody. Because the position where I was, even it was a threat to my seniors. Yeah, until all of them. All the HEOs, they all came to the secretary of local government. He said, we want to transfer all the secretarial staff. He said, okay, you can do it, but don't transfer the one here. And it is me, Gangan, they want to transfer. As they are going out like this, he called me. He said, Sampo, do you know what your guys come to do here? I said, I don't know. He said, this is what they tell me, and this is what I told them. I said, okay, sir. So if I want to sit there in that place, I will be making money. But when I look at that place, I say, the system of this place, nobody can make rapture from here. Because even when I told them not to be sharing the embezzled money with me, one of the politicians who was his wife, he told me, say, Sam, even though you are not collecting, the one we are giving you from our pocket is the one we stole. Because I was very hardworking, I don't touch my salary. They give me money, I don't ask. They give me money. Yeah. They give me money. Some take. He was the former secretary to the state government of Osun State. He said, Sam, the one we are giving you, not the one we stole. So the one we say that you share for you, you are rejecting. It's as easy as them. I just carry my thompson and write and then pull out of the system. I never collected my gratuity. I was entitled to 1 year salary. I just left it. It was because me, I'm looking at the rapture. I don't want to miss it. That thing was tantalizing. It's a place you can just be making money, but and then come and be a big brother in the church. People will say, maybe you also see money. I give it. For the person will go to hell at the end of the day. I don't want to be an escort. You want to be an escort? It's an individual affair. Except a revelation strike you as a person. This is how you come and be sitting down and be looking at everything as if it's a cinema house. Finally, the end will come. One day there will be no service. One day the door will lock. And that is all. Don't we have it in the Bible? Luke chapter 16. A man that make money. His story started from Mark chapter 10. Continue Luke chapter 12, then finally Luke 16. When he thought he has made the billions, it's enough for him to spend in this life. He said, let me now tell my soul to rest. As he was saying that one, a voice said, thou fool. Say, tonight, your soul is required from you. He said, this thing you accumulated, to whom would they belong? Even the Bible said that, when you have wealth, riches, you don't even know the person you will leave it behind.
it might be a vagabond that will spend it. Say, what are you saying? Money is fine. If you have opportunity to make money righteously, make it righteously. But don't you let that one hinder you from serving God. Don't let that one hinder you from serving God. Look, even if I have a work that they say that I will be collecting 10 million per month, but I will be working also every Sunday. Then it means that this job is evolving so. We have to think of it. We are not even thinking of rotation and that once in a while. There are some jobs that every Sunday you are inside. I don't think I'll be able to trade my soul for such a thing. While you are making the money, money has evil spirit that follow it. If God has not helped you thoroughly, with that money, other things will start coming inside. Before you know what is happening, excuses, more time. This is why you cannot be in the service. You send maybe a recharge card of 2000 to pastor. Pastor, did you see the recharge card? Say, yes, yeah, sir. Hey, pastor, I don't want to tell you, I will not be able to. I will. Next week, Saturday also. You say recharge card of 1000. Pastor, you see the recharge card? I think he said, yes, I've seen it. God bless you. I'm not saying that nobody is sending recharge card to him. Are you sending? That's what I think. But money has its own way. He has some spirit that follow it. God be merciful to us. I will soon stop now. I just choose these two paragraphs. As I thought of my way, the one 1959, paragraph 31 and 32. No, have I read this? No, I have not. Have I read this? Hmm? 59:06:10, as I thought of my way. No, no, no. 59:06:10. As I thought of my paragraph 31 and 32. Yeah. It was the prophet Jacob who had done wrong and had lied to his blind daddy because of a birthright. And one day his heart began to yearn to go back to the homeland. And he must have thought all that time it was covered up. That is how sin used to be. As if, thank God, nobody knows. People know. If people does not know, God knows. Then if God wants people to know, he has a way. He has a way of exposing. But he said, he must have thought all that time it was covered up. But when he began to get near hope, he heard that Esau was coming out to meet him. Then he thought of his deceiving ways. And he prayed all night on the other side of the river. When he thought how he had deceived his brother, he called him to all night prayer. God knows that is what the church needs. I remember when the church used to call all night prayer meeting. And when the sermon went forth, there wasn't a dry eye in the church. Everybody wept and cried out before God. And today, it seems like it's so loose. That people just go on living any way they want to. And still say they are Christians. I wonder if we are not near any goal. We better think on our ways and turn our feet to his testimonies. Amen. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. The time is short. There are things that by now we don't need to talk about. When during the Sunday school I saw people coming this morning, I saw a sister who had been coming several times. I mean for years was coming.
The gam did not pass the name. So I was thinking that. Say, will this one now say that she doesn't know? Will she say she doesn't know? She knows. But that is her decision for now. That's a decision for now. No matter what you say, if you like, put your head down, raise up your leg. People's decision is their decision. Yes. There are things we can do, but there are things we cannot do. We also think of three kinds of believers. We don't want to think that maybe believers and unbelievers, maybe they are here. Though the prophet said that they are here, but we don't like to think of it. Because the prayer we are praying that everybody will become a believer. But no matter, everybody has their decisions. And those decisions is the one that is hindering people from making spiritual progress. If I'm in a church and I'm not attaining any spiritual progress, I will meet with the pastor. So that we will see whether what we are preaching is what is not according to the message. Then we will check. To the best of my knowledge, practically every aspect of the message has been touched here. We are turning it here by different ministries, brush it up and down. And but individuals have their decisions. And those decisions, God does not walk over your decision. But if you are a seed of him, then there is a time he will come and put barricade. You cannot go further. When he now put that's the final bus stop. Abraham said, if you are a seed of him, he will put your back on the ground, that you only be looking up. If that is what you want, if you think you are a seed of God, then wait for it. Continue the way you are doing. Enjoy yourself. Like the scripture says in Ecclesiastes, he said, rejoice, O man, O young man. Let me read the scripture. Ecclesiastes. I think, let me see if it's chapter 12 now. It's 11, yeah. Yeah, verse 9 and 10. He said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart. And in the sight of thy eyes. But no doubt that for all these things, God will bring thee to judgment. He said, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Youthful days will come to an end. Beauty vanishes away. Where is Miss Nigeria of yesterday? Beauty. It doesn't stay. When I came here fresh, about 39 years ago, all that you see here were all middle-aged, beautiful and young people. Practically everybody then black hair. Ale, can you see one gray anywhere? But today, in God, including me myself, that is not tough. Everywhere, the air is white. The beautiful something gutters. The shoulders are dropping down. So you do that, it's young. That is your shoulder is straight. Abraham said that I give you a few years, the shoulders will come down. And that's all.
But in case you don't live to see those years, what then? That is in the hand of God. We have a convention that we have put in much. People have saved and things and drop money and whatever. That is wonderful. We have, that is the part we have played thus far is the part of matter. But we have to combine matter and merit. Not that you are careful too much about the physical things, and then it comes to the most thing that is needful. You don't, in order to get blessing from that one, you must prepare yourself, you must pray, you must fast, you must wait on God, you must search your life, you must make your way right. When we come to that place, you must make sure that every distraction, you try to get rid of them before you, because Satan will put everything in motion to make sure that you don't get any blessing. You know, even while, you know, while I'm on the pulpit there, they normally once in a while call me out. Once I'm going out, and on my something, I connect to the internet, I'm following the sermon. We must know how to survive. So when I enter the church back, then I off it. That's the way I normally do. If you are not determined, you only play the part of matter. Run up and down without any blessing at the end of the day. May the Lord be our help. Hymn number 29.
that are written in the scriptures, the Bible says they are written for examples, so that we have come to see the end of the world, we have no excuse. Jacob, a man so bad in character, but chosen of God. The prophet said, only the thing that mattered to him was that birthright. And he doesn't care what he has to do to get it. Abraham said, but he just got it. And he was presented with an opportunity, which you are also presented with. You have been before the supernatural several times. Don't think you will see a physical angel come to wrestle with you. You have been in the presence of the supernatural times without number. We talk of church services, we talk of conventions, we talk of special meetings. You have had the opportunity several times to wrestle with God. But each time that he said, leave me, you just leave him and let him go. But Jacob said, you will not go. He became a fight. Bless me, I will not bless you. Bless me, I will not bless you. Bless me, I will not. And then you wait, people will meet us here. People will meet us here. But the officer said, if you don't feel with the Holy Ghost, when you come back, you will come and meet my bones here. My bone will witness against you that you make a promise you could not keep. My bone will prove that I cried, you did not hear. I asked, you did not give me. And your word has said that whosoever cometh unto me, I will know was cast out. You have that contrary to your word. But Robinson stayed here, pleading God's promises, and he got the reality. You are a witness that our desperations, in most cases, finish when the service finishes. That is why we remain the way we are. When the service finishes, desperation finishes. It does not continue. I remember in Osasana one time I met the pastor outside the church. I told him that I am going inside the bush, I will not return back. He might have forgotten, but it's one of the discussions I had with him one time. Because I had something I was battling with and I was not overcoming. Everything is in God's record. As we bow our heads, and talk to our Maker, consider yourself that you are also in the presence of a being who can touch you if you persist. If you insist that he will not go, then he can touch you. Jacob said, I will let you go except to bless you. And that is the only way we get God. We force him to his promise. We make it difficult for him to do otherwise. We plead our case before him. The prophet said that when the sisters in the days of Anna were checking the type of heart that they wore to church, Anna remained at the altar. Though the service had closed, people were dismissed to go, but Anna remained at the altar until even the priest thought that maybe she drank. Then the woman said, I'm not drunk. Out of the grief of my heart have I poured out my supplications. Then the priest said, oh, if that be so, the Lord God of Israel grant unto you your petition. And with that seal, Anna got her request.
Anna knew why she came to Shiloh that year. She knew. That's why she did not follow the crowd of examining dress, examining heart, examining this, examining that. There are others, perhaps, there may be other women too that are also barren. And they came barren and went back with their barrenness. But her case was different that year because she came with a determination in her heart. She came with a purpose. She came with a decision that God must hear her prayer this year. Enough is enough of just coming and going and remaining the same. That enough is enough. She made up her mind. And a time must come for individuals like that. That something will rise up in you and say, enough is enough. The same church I come to, that I go back to, is the same church others come, and God do something in their life, and their life are changed, and they have testimonies. What is the matter with me? A day must come that something will rise up in you and say, enough is enough. Except you like your ways, except you like your style of life, except you like the things that is evil, that God hates, except you like it, and you are rejoicing in it. If that be the case, you go right on. May the Lord make a way for you in future, before it is too late. But remember Esau. With tears, he sought for it, he could not get it. Remember Judas. With tears, with restitutions, he couldn't get nothing because the door of mercy has closed. Beside those at the altar, I wonder if there is someone also that would desire the mercy of God. You lift up your hand, having your request in your heart. The prophet said, if the way you are taking is that I will just try whether there is anything good that will come out of it, don't you raise up your hand. Say, well, I've raised it up several times, there's still nothing to eat. Don't bother, because there is still nothing to eat too for you. But for those who knew that God still moved in mysterious ways, so wonders to perform. Those who knew that there are times and seasons that come to do some special things. And those who believe that now can be your time. Those who believe that the door of mercy might be open this time. Keep your request in your heart as you pray. Dear Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we want to thank you very much because we are still alive. Your word said that there is no repentance in the grave. And as long as we are alive, you can still do something in us. That's why your prophet said that we should not lose hope on any man while the breath of life is still. We thank you for the privilege to come to church. We thank you for your word that has been re-echoed. Lord, we look up unto you because of ourselves we can do nothing. Jacob also continued for many years until he came to this junction. Though your prophet said there are people that is very easy for, others we have to stress and try and do anything before they get it. Or some, they may even fail to get it. Dear Lord, we want to believe that your love is abiding on each and every one of your children. And that is why we have come to hear your word today. And that is why you have caused us to hear the things that we have heard. And that is why we are yearning and asking at this time that you give us a feeling that Jacob had that day. The feeling of the presence of the angel of the Lord. So that we can hold him tight until the blessing will come. Those are the altar commitment to your hand. It takes a whole lot of decision and grace for one to come to the altar uninvited, out of their own volition. Whatsoever they have come to ask for, thou God that remember and at that time, remember them also, Father. The hands that are up, that defy the law of gravity, that says hands must act down, definitely needs are behind it. Some of the hands might be standing for the loved ones. Some might be standing for themselves. Some might be asking for more of you. Some might be asking for your touch. Some might be asking for your visitation. Whatsoever, oh God, your people are asking for, your word told us that you are written to them all that call upon your name. Savior divine, may you remember your people. We haven't come to church to play. We have come here to meet with you. And Lord, you have spoken unto us the way you want to this morning. And we have heard. The ball is in our court. We have spoken back to you as individuals. And dear Lord Jesus, we are just asking at this time, thou almighty God, who has all powers and who can do all things, that you look into the heart of your sons and daughters. If there are problems, if there are obstacles, if there are barriers, if there are things that the enemy has put, Lord, to barricade your blessings in the heart of your children. May the pillar of fire descend and burn those things out, Heavenly Father. May the God of heaven show mercy unto everyone. Those asking for your spirit, may you fall upon them, Lord. Give them an experience of us from that time. The grace to be able to hold on to you until the blessing will become a substance in their soul. Give unto everyone, their Father. Every distraction of the enemy, may you take it away, their Father. Grant it, Heavenly Father. You commit our children into your hands. They are lucky more than we are. Some of our own and the elders were born into where they don't have this opportunity. But majority of them were born in the household of faith. Dedicated in the scriptural way, according to the message, prayer of faith was offered for them. And Lord, they have been hearing these things they have brought to hear. And we have tried everything in our power to keep them in this environment. Dear Jesus, that is how far we can go as mortals. The rest is in your hands as we hand them over unto you, that you walk upon them. Be gracious unto them. We don't want to lose them when we cross to the other side. We think of Lot when he went to live in Sodom. He lost most of the things that were with him there. He lost the wife. He lost some of the children. He lost the sons-in-law. He lost the grandchildren. They all perished in that place. Even all his labor for all those years, a pin did not fall him out of that place. Dear Master Jesus, that is how it will be in this world for any man that failed to make the rapture. All the labors will be lost. For those who are Christians, before then, they have transferred most of their wealth to the other side for an eternal reward. Have your way, dear Lord. Give grace unto our children. Open their eyes, Heavenly Father. Give them revelation. May they see what your word is talking about. May they make an eternal decision as individuals and face Calvary themselves, Lord. Give them individual experience. Be merciful to them, dear Lord. May they not perish in the way, Lord. grant it, Heavenly Father. There are the adults here that is coming, not conscious of what is happening, not knowing what is going on. We plead for mercy for such. Have your way, Heavenly Father. The convention that is ahead of us, Master Jesus, we desire it. You that make supernatural provision for the physical need. We want the blessing of the spiritual to double the physical provision, to be in abundance. And while you are doing it, don't pass any of us by. Help us, dear Father. Hallowed be your name, Lord. May these blessings abide with us. May we stay under this anointing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. By, you know, some of the people that have meetings, remember your meetings and go at it on time, because by 2 o'clock the next service will be seated. 2:30 worship service, 3 to 4 will be the preaching, and then by 4 o'clock we are dismissed. And after today, there will not be service here Wednesday, because that Wednesday is some of the luggages will start moving to the convention ground, and most of us will be busy. And from early Thursday morning, then we move. By 5 o'clock is the service on Thursday. Open to dismiss 7:30. God bless you. 256. 256. Now, Embo, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord to defend his cause.
Was there.